Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. I should say, before I start, that I'm not speaking on behalf of Press TV today. My views are my own. They may accord with Press TV, they might not. Just to introduce myself for those who don't, for those of you who don't know me, I've been a journalist for about 14 years. I started off in mainstream British newspapers and TV channels. I went to live in the Middle East for many years to work for Al Jazeera. I came back, worked for many different companies, and I've been head of Press TV, head of news in London for Press TV for the last 5 years. In terms of the Islamic Awakening or the Arab Spring, last year I spent a lot of time in Libya, also in Tunisia and Egypt, during the fall of Tripoli and during the fall of Cairo, and also I was in Gaza as well. So I can hopefully say a few words about the Islamic Awakening. To start off with, I'd say that media has been a key tool during the Arab revolutions. In fact, you can argue that actually it created the Arab revolutions, especially the role of Al Jazeera was very prominent in that. By opening up the space for the Arab public to express itself. And I think it will also play a key role in how these revolutions play out. But now I think we're moving from a situation where the Arab satellite channels were used as a platform for Arab public to express themselves to a situation where these channels are being used to manipulate public opinion. Media has gone very tribal over the last year. None has remained completely impartial. All have been used by their host nations to push certain agendas. For example, the Western media, BBC and CNN, are pushing an agenda of secularism, demonizing Islamists. Al Jazeera is pushing a curious mixture of secularism and so-called moderate Islam, whereas Press TV, as you all know, has been pushing a Islamic agenda. This lack of impartiality I don't think is necessarily a bad thing, because ultimately all media is propaganda, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, as long as the propaganda corresponds with the truth. Because in my opinion, impartiality isn't as important as telling the truth, being fair and being accurate. During the last year, we've seen that the Western stranglehold over media has been broken. The likes of Al Jazeera, Russia Today, Press TV, and others are being watched as much as the BBC, and this is a good thing. But I still think that Islamic-orientated media needs to do more to catch up with the big boys. And when I'm talking about the big boys, I'm talking about the BBC, the CNN, and Al Jazeera, who are the main opinion formers. So what I'm going to do in the next 15 minutes or so is to just analyze three movements, media movements, the West, Al Jazeera, and Press TV, and recommend how we can improve, recommend how Islamic media should plan for the future. I would generally say that there is a difference between sophisticated propaganda and less sophisticated propaganda. But ultimately, all media is propaganda. The sophisticated propaganda is the BBC, whereas it'll push a certain line, but it will also allow dissenting voices, but only a minority of dissenting voices. The less sophisticated media, perhaps, I have to say, is Press TV or Russia Today. I believe sophisticated propaganda is more effective at persuading the public than less sophisticated propaganda. All media struggle to carry to cover these Arab revolutions. The distances between events were happening at the same time, the distances were hard to cover. I think we all did a pretty bad job. Let's get to Al Jazeera. The emergence of Qatar and Al Jazeera during the Arab Spring is really interesting. But having lived there and worked for Al Jazeera and lived in Qatar, I've come to the conclusion, actually, it's a bad thing. As I said before, I think Al Jazeera has moved from a platform to represent Arab public opinion to a platform to manipulate Arab public opinion. The essential thing to remember is that Qatar is a US proxy. It hosts a huge US airbase, which was used to ultimately slaughter the people of Iraq and Afghanistan. And there is no getting away from that. And anything you believe about Al Jazeera and Qatar has to be seen in that context. Al Jazeera, or Qatar, has friendly relations with Israel. It helped NATO invade Libya. and it ignored the revolution in Bahrain, and it's stoking a potentially calamitous war in Syria. Yet at the same time, Al Jazeera, without doubt, does some great journalism, and perhaps it even laid the groundwork for the Arab revolutions. Al Jazeera English, in terms of its production value, is terrific. Editorially, I have other opinions. I used to work for Al Jazeera. I was in Iraq with them, and I can tell you the Americans absolutely hated Al Jazeera, and they closed down Al Jazeera's Baghdad bureau. But at some point along the line, they've realized they're too big to ignore, so they decided, in my opinion, to co-opt them. If you can't beat them, join them. And since then, we've seen a noticeably pro-Western, pro-secularism line coming out of Al Jazeera. An important distinction to make is between Al Jazeera Arabic and Al Jazeera English. Al Jazeera Arabic has the real power amongst the Arabs in the Middle East. Al Jazeera English is more for the elite opinion formers in the Western world. It's easy to understand it this way. Qatar has two constituencies, the West and Sunni Arabs. Al Jazeera English is for the West, Al Jazeera Arabic is for the Sunni Arabs. That explains why the two channels covered Bahrain differently. Al Jazeera Arabic virtually ignored the revolution. Al Jazeera English was quite good, to their credit. So the Emir of Qatar, who may be the real winner of the Arab Spring, is playing a very clever double game, trying to please all the people all of the time. And now Qatar is desperate to spread its influence through its money, through its soft power and its alliance with so-called moderate Islamists. And my guess is that Qatar has no real deeply held principles, unlike Iran, for example. Its real raison d'etre, or its real mode of operation, is to spread its influence. It's got a big ego and a desire to be noticed. So I would say, if you want a close relationship with America to continue, if you want a permanent state of Israel, if you want Shias to be marginalized, if you want a toned down version of Islam, then Qatar and Al Jazeera is your choice. The Western media is in crisis. In terms of production, it's always been the best quality, but now it's suffering cuts to its budget and its resources. The Western economy is going down the pan, and so is Western media. They have fewer bureaus around the world. Journalists have been laid off, or they're used as firefighters. You see John Simpson parachuting in and out, like he knows everything about every issue in the world. And he arrives in Tripoli one day, he pontificates, then he flies back the next. That's what Western media does. They fly in their white people. Sorry for using that term, but I think you know where I'm coming from. They don't stay with stories. For example, in Tunisia, they were in Tunisia, the revolution broke out in Egypt, they all left for Egypt, and no one was left behind in Tunisia. So they have no staying power. And in general, I think their journalism is corrupted. It's all about quantity, not quality. It's not about truth-telling anymore. It's about pumping out the stories and making money. It's dumbed-down news. Obviously, the BBC and CNN projected a pro-Western view when it came to the Arab revolutions. I think the West generally was caught on the hop as their favorite dictators started to fall. But now they've decided to back the winners, so they're trying to co-opt moderate Islamist groups, like in Libya, and they're seeking to work and influence them. The Western media narrative of the Arab revolutions generally promoted secularism with a bit more democracy. Everything was seen through the eyes of westernized elites, English speakers, unrepresentative of the majority of the people. Even the use of the term the Arab Spring is a secular term. They warned of Islamization of people with big beards, of Sharia law, of terrorism. They're playing up the Syria story now, instigating to a large extent. They ignored Bahrain, they're constantly anti-Iran, using human rights as a fig leaf to hide their real motives. Nevertheless, they do allow opposing voices occasionally, and I would say the BBC is still a pretty sophisticated form of propaganda. Coming now to Press TV, my channel. I think over the past few years, Press TV has established a unique brand as the only real Muslim channel out there. with a distinctive anti-imperialistic and pro-Muslim, pro-global South line. We focused on the impression of the Palestinians, on the West's bloody wars, and its support for Middle Eastern dictators. We've generally supported the Arab revolutions, seeing it as a movement of an oppressed people to throw off the shackles of their dictators and to represent their true Islamic aspirations. We've been criticized for using the term Islamic awakening. I myself had doubts about it to begin with, because the West was pushing this pro-secularism line. And it is true, I think the secularists were at the forefront of the change, at the beginning anyway. But now I think the term Islamic awakening is quite prophetic, because we're seeing that actually the secularists are in the minority across the Arab world, and it's the Islamists who are in the majority. Our big thing has been Bahrain. This is a revolution abandoned by the West and also abandoned by Arabs. So I think, you know, we are one of the few channels to actually cover it well. We've been controversial on Syria. I think we've been good on highlighting the fact that Syria is the subject of a Western Israeli-Saudi plot. However, we've been criticized with some justification, I think, for downplaying civilian casualties and for labeling all the opposition as terrorists or armed gangs. Press TV, as you will know, was taken off the air recently by the British government. We have a WikiLeaks cable from 2010 indicating that that's exactly what they wanted to do. And hey, presto, a year later, it happens. They're squeezing us financially by imposing sanctions on Iran, making it very, very difficult for any Iranian company to operate in this country. And the regulatory body Ofcom has been mounting a vicious campaign against us for many years. Britain says it's not against freedom of speech, but this, in my opinion, was an egregious attack on freedom of speech. At a moment when the Middle East is in a state of convulsion, and tensions between Iran and the UK and the West in general are at an all-time high, Press TV is no longer available to as many people in the UK. I think we must have lost about 60% of our audience over the past few months because of that. And that is a disaster. I just want to make, before I finish, I want to say a few things about social media, because this has been the focus of many newspaper articles and TV reports. Personally, I think the role of social media was exaggerated during the Arab Spring. It did play a role, but probably not as great a role as people would like to suggest. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and blogs. The fact is that most Arabs aren't connected. Only a minority are connected. You know, perhaps with the exception of the Gulf countries, the Persian Gulf countries. Also, I think that YouTube images, while they can be very, very revelatory, they can also be easily faked. They're unreliable. However, if governments continue to censor the legitimate media, then obviously the social media, which is less reliable, will fill that gap. So just to finish off, I'd say that Iran has shown great foresight in launching a 24-hour news channel in Press TV. Very few channels around the world or countries around the world have those channels. And Iran is the first, one of the few Muslim countries to launch a 24-hour news channel. However, I feel that we have to improve the quality of our production to match the big boys. Ultimately, we are not as watchable as Al Jazeera or the BBC. So even if our message is correct, if it's not packaged in the right way, then no one's going to listen to it. And this is something that we have to seriously consider. Generally, Muslims are not as professional as non-Muslims. We don't turn up on time. Our business ethics are not as strong. We need to change these things in order to compete on the same level playing field. Press TV, especially, has to be on as many platforms as possible around the world. It's not on enough. And also, crucially, we have to develop credibility with our audiences, especially our non-Muslim audiences, by being self-critical. We have to allow dissenting views on the channel. That's what will give us credibility. Propaganda does not give us credibility. I would say the youth has to go into the media. I think a lot of our children You know, as parents, we want them to be doctors and lawyers and make lots of money. Ultimately, these are frivolous things. Sorry, I shouldn't say a doctor. Being a doctor is a frivolous thing. But you can see where I'm coming from. Ultimately, we don't have enough Muslims in the media. And the ones we do have in the media tend to be plastic Muslims. Coconuts. There, I said it. I don't see the point of a Muslim brown face on the BBC when they're not representing their community or their religion. What's the point of that? But obviously, your Islam comes first, and media comes second. And without understanding your faith and what the Quran and the Sunnah say, you have no chance of understanding political events that are unfolding at the moment. So we have to develop a two-pronged attack. One is build our own institutions. Thankfully, we're doing that. And the second one is to also work with the mainstream, but with the intention of helping advancing our faith and our community. Okay, so just wrapping up. I'm convinced that we're moving into a new age where the soft war will be as important as the hard war. Muslims have been losing both the soft war and the hard war for many decades now. But the West is on decline, and I believe that Islam is on the rise. So we have a real chance to push these Arab revolutions in a direction of independence, of self-determination, and of Islam. We can either make the right strategic choices now in regard to our media, or we can fail to do that. But it's in our hands. Okay, thank you. Assalamu alaikum.